All right, good morning, guys. So if you've been around for the last couple of weeks, you've heard us talk a lot about prayer, and I hope that you're starting to feel like you're learning, just like the disciples did when they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. So I hope that you're learning that it isn't about the words you use, but it's about truly trying to seek to be in a conversation with your loving Father. So last year, one of my daughters, Emma, was babysitting a little girl in our church, and she was putting her to bed. And so part of their bedtime routine, this family, was to say the Lord's Prayer together before she went to bed. So I think she might have, like, remembered a lot of steps to the bedtime routine. If you ever try to put a kid to bed, there's lots of steps that they'll try to add so they can put off going to bed. But she wanted to do the Lord's Prayer, and so they, of course, did the Lord's Prayer together. And then at the end, she said, Emma, in our family, we say amen, not amen. And so Emma was like, oh, I realized her mistake and made sure that they put an amen on the end of the prayer so that she could go to sleep. But the truth is, we learn how to pray by the people that we first pray with. Last year, I overheard downstairs as I was kind of getting ready for the classes before service. The setup team, they always pray together after they set up everything. And I just kind of overheard it, as I usually do as I'm kind of like puttering around. And it occurred to me that it was the first time I had heard a young man who was kind of a new believer in our church pray. And it occurred to me that he sounded a lot like Matt Mueller, who at the time was away in Honduras learning how to speak Spanish. And it was interesting to me because I miss Matt, and it made me smile that just to hear somebody that reminded me of praying with Matt, because I enjoy that. I couldn't quite figure out why it made me think of Matt. I mean, it certainly wasn't the volume of his voice, because if you've ever prayed with Matt before, he's a little bit louder than this gentleman was. And it wasn't the words he was using, but something about how he was in conversation with God made me think of Matt. And it occurred to me that I knew that Matt had spent a lot of time with this guy as he was becoming a believer, praying with him. And so it wasn't surprising that he would kind of sound a little bit like Matt, because we just learn how to pray from the people that we first have that experience with. So a couple weeks ago, I spoke about how, growing up as a kid, I learned how to talk to God, but I didn't learn how to be in a conversation with him. I didn't learn how to listen to God. And so I honestly, in the last couple of years, that has changed for me, because I've started to pray with some new people who have incorporated conversations with God in new ways. And so I'm learning to do that for myself as well. And one of the most important ways that prayer has changed for me is incorporating scripture into my prayer life. I don't think I was taught how to do that as a child, how to incorporate scripture into prayer. But I think it also has a lot to do with how I was taught how to study the Bible. So I know that we all come from different church backgrounds, different cultures, different traditions. So I just want to spend a minute and talk about the Bible here. So the reality is the Bible, it's lots of different books by lots of different authors from different time periods, different cultures. There are different types of scripture. There's the Old Testament that is about God's people before Jesus, the New Testament that's about Jesus' life and the life of the church after his death and resurrection. Some of it is narrative, so it tells a story. Some of it's poetic. Some is prophecy, so it predicts the future. Some of them are letters of instructions on how to follow Jesus. So growing up at church and in my house, I learned how to study the Bible. And the goal was to know what it meant, right? To kind of understand and master the Bible. I needed to know all the stories. And it wasn't enough to just know a story. It was important to know the story before that story and the story after that story. And then I went to college and I studied the Bible. And again, I was taught how to consider all these things, the idea that you need to study the Bible to understand it and know it. And so I was taught to study the context, and that is just the time and the place that a passage is written. I was taught to understand the original language that this passage was written in and consider the translation into English. I was taught to consider, is this passage, is it narrative? Is it poetic? Is it prophetic? Or is it a letter written by an apostle? And so I was taught to consider all those things when I'm studying the Bible. So for me to open up the Bible and just read a passage and say, this is what this passage means to me today, was something that I was taught really not to do. And I should say that the way I was taught to study the Bible, I believe, was very valuable, and it continues to be the way I study the Bible today. It's the way I studied to prepare this message. It's very important to consider all of these things while looking at Scripture. But I was not taught how to meditate on Scripture, how to consider a passage and really meditate on it. Last week, Larry talked about how he wasn't taught how to deal with his emotions growing up, as I imagine many of us were not taught that. And so through the Emotionally Healthy Skills class that we're starting today, we learned to ask the question, how is God coming to me through my emotions? And I kind of feel like, along with learning that, I've also learned how to meditate on Scripture asking a similar question. Reading a passage and asking, how is God coming to me through this passage? Now, this might be new to me. This might be a new way to pray for me, but it's actually something that Christ followers have been doing for over 1,000 years. It's a practice that is often known as Lectio Divina, which just means divine reading. So sometimes when you use Latin, it makes things seem a little bit more intimidating than they actually are. So the basic understanding is just that Lectio Divina is using Scripture as a guide to your conversation with God. It's the idea that the Holy Spirit is present as you read a passage, and that God can use that passage to speak to us and help guide us to speaking to Him. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that talks about the Word of God. It says, "For the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So this passage is saying that God's revelation to us, written in Scripture, is alive. It's active. And actually, that word active in the Greek is where we get our English word for energy. So we all know that we need energy to survive. Our energy is food. It's what we need to survive, to thrive in life. And similarly, the Word of God, when we read it and meditate on it, it becomes the food, the energy we need. It gets inside of us, to the parts of us that nobody else sees, that only God sees in us. And the practice of Lectio Divina is, that's what it's all about. It's opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. While reading a passage and meditating on it, we're opening ourselves up almost like a surgeon opens up a patient with a double-edged scalpel. That's what the Scripture is. It opens us up and reveals to us what the Holy Spirit wants to show us, to grow us up to be more like Jesus. It's just another way of asking the question, God, what do you want to talk about today? In an article I read by Pastor Mark Moore about the purpose of practicing Lectio Divina, he writes this. He says, "Lectio Divina is not about interpreting the text. It's about the text interpreting me. When I approach the text in order to be formed by it, rather than simply informed by it, I'm submitting myself to the text, the opposite of mastering it." So when I was young and went to Bible college, I think I thought that maybe I could be a master at reading the Bible, right? I would learn enough and then I would master it. But over the years, I realized it's just so hard. It's great to keep striving and learning and considering all these things, and I'm learning more and more as I grow, but yet I can never master it. And it's so much more rewarding to actually let the Scriptures master me, to be formed by what the passage is saying to me. So, how do you do it? Let's walk through the steps. There's 4 steps, basic steps, that to Lectio Divina. And the first is to just read the passage. So many people, they might read the passage out loud if they're doing it by themselves. Some people read it three times. Some people choose to read it in different translations. Maybe you're going to read it in NIV and then switch to maybe an even easier version for you. Some I would imagine might want to read it in English and then Spanish. So the main idea is you just read the passage, and then the next step is to meditate on the passage. So I keep using this word meditate, and it's actually used in scripture quite a lot. What does meditate mean? It really just means you're asking the question, how is God coming to me through this passage? In Psalms 119, it's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. It's quite long. It's most likely been written by King David, and he writes about the wonders of the word of God. And in it, he mentions all the different ways he meditates. It says he meditates on God's decrees. He meditates on his wonderful deeds. He meditates on his law. He meditates on the statutes and meditates on God's promises. But this is how Seeking God's Face, which is just the name of a collection of scripture and prayers that I use. It's daily. There's a daily scripture and prayer given to me. You can get it in book form. I keep it on my Kindle and also on my phone Kindle. But in it, it gave this description to starting to meditate. It says, become aware of God's loving presence and read the passage again. What in God's word has caught your heart's attention? Is there a command to be obeyed, a comfort to be savored? And Redeemer Church, which is here in New York City, if you look on their website, there's a page that they've devoted to kind of helping people do Lectio Divina. And so in their instructions, they give these prompts to meditation. It says, listen for a single word or phrase that particularly strikes you. Listen to how the passage seems to touch your life experience. And then the next step is to respond to God. So you have listened to God. Now it's your turn to talk. Talk to him about what you've heard from him. Maybe it's that you need to be thankful for something that you read in the passage. Maybe it's something that you need to confess, or both. But just speak to him and let the scripture guide your prayers to God. And then the last step is contemplation. Or stillness, just being in God's presence. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about silence and stillness. So it's hard for us to do in our culture, but it's a very important practice. And so just ending the time of Lectio Divina in prayer with God and just silence, just being present with God. So praying this way, it was new for me. And it felt a little bit weird. It was kind of like, you know, trying to switch from saying amen to amen. It took a little practice, but I learned that by doing this, prayer became more of a conversation with God, where I was hearing from him and speaking from what he was saying to me. And it made scripture for the first time in my life like spiritual food that I needed for the day. And over the last couple of years, it's helped me through my own days of doubt and pain and fears. So many of you know that just over a year ago, my husband and I went back to Ohio to be with our dear friend Renee as she was losing her battle with cancer and was going to be with the Lord. So we were in the room with just a few close friends, her parents, her siblings, her husband, her three sons. And we were there with her, prayed with her as she died. And just experiencing the pain of somebody you dearly love, watching them slip away, and then seeing the pain of everybody around, how hard it is to lose them. Of course, the grief of that has affected me this year, and many in, you know, expected ways, but some unexpected ways, things that I couldn't have predicted. And one of those is that I had irrationally connected Renee's diagnosis with cancer with me being diagnosed with cancer. And I knew it was irrational, but it didn't matter. I still was in fear of it. And so what that meant was I was putting off my mammogram appointment, which is one of the joys of being a woman over 40. Yes, I just said the word mammogram. So I had put it off, and I was also worrying about putting it off. So it was like this constant cycle of, like, I don't want to do it, but I know I should do it, and I'm worrying that I'm not doing it. And so I was doing that for months. And I knew it was irrational. I knew why I was doing it. So finally, I kind of confessed this to a dear friend of mine whose mother actually passed away from cancer. And she was very kind, very understanding, and very strong. And she was like, you're going to go home today and make an appointment, and you're going to text me that you did it, and then you're going to come up with a plan for how you're going to get through that appointment. And for me, I wasn't as scared of the diagnosis as I was of, like, waiting for the diagnosis, which I know is crazy, but honestly, that's how I was. I had talked to my friend Renee about that moment for her, and so I feared waiting to get the scans back. And so she said, what you need is a plan. That's how my mom got through many appointments. I had asked her, how are you doing this? And she said, I have to have a plan for where I'm going to let my thoughts go. And that, for me, made sense. I was like, I can do that. I can do that. I can have a plan. And it reminded me of conversations I had with Adriana, who's a part of our church, who last year went through cancer treatment for a tumor. She's cancer-free now, but she still has to go regularly back to get scans. And so she, you know, has to have a plan. How is she going to handle that fear? So for me, I made the appointment that week. And my plan was to do Lectio Divina there in the waiting room. So I told you I do Seeking God's Face. It's on my phone. I didn't know what this passage would be, so I looked it up on my phone, and here's the passage that I read. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's exactly what I needed to hear. And of course, the word hope jumped out to me, but also the words trust and peace. That God is the God of hope, and that my job was to trust him. So I asked God, please fill me with joy, but more importantly, fill me with peace. And so I sat there for 15 minutes, which could have been the longest 15 minutes of my life, but instead I just chose to meditate on this passage, speaking to God and hearing from him. And I know that I had that passage memorized by the time I went into my lovely mammogram. And I also had the energy I needed. I was choosing to trust. And I believe that God filled me with joy and peace that day. And also a new challenge. My new challenge was that this hope would overflow to others. That God was asking me to be so full of hope that it would overflow into other people's lives, no matter what the results of the scan was that day. Now, Lectio Divina isn't like that for me every day. It isn't that profound. But I will say that every time I do Lectio Divina, I receive something I need for the day. So I would like to do it today together to practice this passage. It might feel a little weird to you, but I'm hoping that as you continue to incorporate this into your prayer life, it will start to feel like the food you need for each day. So Larry's going to pass around some sheets with the passage in both English and Spanish. You might want to have a pen to write down prayers, circle things in the passage if you want. But I'm going to read the passage, and then I'm going to lead you through just some reflection of this passage a little bit. It's a time of prayer. So I'm going to begin. This is passage, it comes from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah and invites all of us who are thirsty to come and listen to his word. So it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. So is there one word or a phrase in that passage that the Holy Spirit is impressing on you? Just meditate on the phrase or the word. You might want to write them down. You might need to read through it again. I'll give you a minute to do that. Right, I'm going to read the passage again. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. What do you feel? Is there a specific situation that comes to mind? Write down a prayer or pray quietly. Again, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. So what is this passage inviting you to do? How is God inviting you to change? Spend some time in prayer over what you've received from God. The last step is to contemplate, to just rest in God's presence and his love for you. Just take deep breath and be still before God. Amen. All right, so you've done it for once. I hope you will try it again. Each week, through this series, we've been sending prayer suggestions on our prayer update emails. So if you want to receive those updates, just mark the box on our information cards and just slip those into the box right here on the communion tables. And we'll make sure you start getting those this week. This week, I've given you some scripture passages to use for Lectio Divina and just the steps again. And I encourage you to give that a try. For some of you, you're going to love doing that by yourself, having that time by yourself. But for others of you, you might feel like it's more useful for you to do it with somebody else or in a group because you like to learn and talk out loud, and that's okay too. I know for me, I'm an introvert, so I love having time by myself and studying and just clearing my mind by myself. But I have learned actually over the years that if I'm not in conversation with other people about what God is sharing with me and hearing from them what God's sharing with them, that actually my spiritual life suffers. And so for me, I know that I need to be a part of a small group, a Bible study, and also be in conversations with my friends and family about what I'm hearing from God and asking them to share what God's sharing with them. And so this week, we hope that our groups for the next couple of weeks will be practicing Lectio Divina, that we'll be using scripture to hear from God and sharing with one another what we're hearing. So I encourage you to both give it a try by yourself or in a group or both. So to close today, I would like to use a passage from the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to pray that this passage would be true for you personally, but also for our church. So let's pray. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.